The problem with index fossils. Here's a question most people never think to ask. How do geologists actually know how old a rock is? The textbook answer is index fossils. Find a certain fossil on a rock layer and you know its age because that fossil only existed during a certain span of time. Sounds solid? But dig one layer deeper and you find a problem that geologists have quietly admitted for over a century. Here's how it really works. Geologists don't independently date the rocks first and then check which fossils show up. They date the rock by the fossils inside it. So how do you know how old the fossil is? By assuming evolution is true and estimating how long ago that specific species must have lived on the evolutionary timeline. Then that assumed age gets stamped into the rock layer. Do you see the circle? The fossil's age comes from the theory of evolution, and then that same rock layer gets used as evidence for evolution. Geologist C.E. O'Rourke admitted as much in print. He conceded that fossils end up dating rocks more precisely than rocks date fossils, and that this circular reasoning is baked into the whole system. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a scientist in a peer-reviewed journal describing exactly what I just described to you. Now, the common response is, sure, but we don't need fossils anymore. We have radiometric dating. Except, radiometric dating has its own track record. In 1996, scientists ran potassium-argon dating on lava from Mount St. Helens. Lava that was only 10 years old. The result? Ages ranging up over a million years. The same thing happens with lava flows in New Zealand known to be under 50 years old. And when radiometric methods disagree with the assumed fossil sequence? Geologist John Woodmerap found roughly 300 documented cases where the wrong date was simply set aside as an anomaly. It wasn't treated as a problem with the method itself. Here's why this just isn't a technical footnote. The entire geologic column, the neat stack of Cambrian, Devonian, Jurassic, and so on, doesn't exist anywhere on Earth as a physical stacked sequence. It's assembled from rock formations scattered across different continents, ordered according to the same fossil-based assumption. No single borehole passes through all of it in order. The column is a composite, stitched-together model on paper long before anyone tested whether the stitching holds. Now, as an old Earth creationist, I'm not here to tell you that the planet is 6,000 years old. The evidence of an ancient Earth is real, and so is the evidence of a catastrophe that reshaped it long before Adam. Genesis 1-2 even hints at this type of gap. But an old Earth is not the same claim as a scientifically verified sequence of common descent. Those are two very different questions, and only one actually has solid ground under it. So the next time someone tells you that the fossil record proves evolution beyond question, ask them one simple question. How do you know how old that fossil is? If the honest answer traces back to the theory itself, that's not proof. That's circular reasoning. Does radiometric dating confirm the geologic column? The geologic column was built by 19th century geologists on one assumption, that simple fossils are always found in the oldest rock. Critics call that circular, dating rocks by the fossils and fossils by the column. The standard rebuttal is that radiometric dating fixes all that. It's independent physics, unrelated to the rock, so it can finally test whether the column's order is real. But can it actually do that job? In 1913, geologist Arthur Holmes proposed that radioactive decay could assign absolute ages to rock. Certain elements, called parent isotopes, decay into elements called daughter isotopes. That decay happens at a fixed, known rate. Measure how much parent isotope has turned into daughter inside the rock, and in theory, you can calculate how long that decay has been happening. No fossils required. This sounds like the perfect independent check. A method rooted entirely in physics, with nothing to do with what happened to the fossils sitting nearby. Except that calculation isn't actually a direct measurement. It's built on three assumptions nobody was around to verify. One, scientists have to assume they know the starting ratio of parent-to-daughter isotope the moment the rock was formed. Two, the decay rate has to have stayed perfectly constant for the entire span being measured. And three, nothing can have added or removed either isotope after the rock formed. Get any one of these three wrong, and the calculated age is wrong. Sometimes by a staggering amount. The standard reference in the field, potassium-argon dating, documents how contamination from atmospheric argon can severely distort calculations. Since no one was there to watch these rocks form, all three assumptions have to be taken on faith before a single date is calculated. Here's where it gets revealing. Geologists have a term for the different radiometric methods. Run on the same rock, producing different ages. That term is isochron discordance, and it happens more often than most people realize. One striking case, a rock formation in Queensland, Australia. It's conventionally dated to between 216 and 225 million years old. But three separate radiometric methods told three different stories. Potassium-argon dating returned a figure of 174 million years. Samarium-neodymium dating returned 259 million years. And rubidium-strontium dating returned 193 million years. That's a single rock formation coming out Jurassic by one method, Permian by another, and Devonian by a third. Periods supposedly separated by 160 million years or more. Interestingly, an 8-year research program run by the Institution for Creation Research and the Creation Research Society took a different approach. Instead of throwing out the samples contaminated, researchers left them in the analysis. The result? Margin of error bars of about 15% on all radiometric dates across the board. That's large enough to make it impossible to reliably tell one geologic era from the next. It's also enough to discredit the law of faunal succession itself. So, radiometric dating hasn't rescued the geologic column from circular reasoning. It's been folded into the same circle. A date that matches the expected fossil sequence gets accepted. A date that doesn't gets explained away. The theory decides which measurements count. Is the Triassic extinction a myth? Textbooks teach that life on Earth has been nearly wiped out five separate times. The Ordovician extinction, the Devonian extinction, the Permian extinction, the Triassic extinction, and the grand extinction that ended the dinosaurs. Each one is supposed to mark a hard line in the rock where an old world ends and a new one begins. But what if these lines are never actually found in the rock, only assumed into it? That question came to a head over a giant amphibian called a metoposaur. Before we get into the paradox, here's what a metoposaur actually was. Picture a giant amphibian, some growing to nearly 10 foot long, with a huge flat head and a wide mouth lined with sharp teeth for snapping up fish. It spent most of its life lurking at the bottom of rivers and lakes across the ancient world. Metoposaurs were everywhere in their day. Their fossils turned up by the hundreds in the same rock layers all across the globe, which is exactly why paleontologists leaned on them so heavily as a marker for dating rock. For decades, paleontologists used the metoposaur as an index fossil. Find one in a layer, and that layer got stamped. Upper Triassic, roughly 227 million years old, case closed. At the time, the Triassic was thought to have ended around 210 million years ago. Everything after that point was Jurassic, and metoposaurs weren't supposed to exist in the Jurassic at all. Then, in 2003, geologists dated the rock directly using uranium lead dating on zircon crystals in those same layers. The result? 209 million years, just past where the extinction was supposed to have already happened. By the timeline in use at that moment, this metaposaur looked like it had survived its own extinction event. So what happened next? Scientists didn't conclude that metaposaurs simply survived longer than expected. Instead, two things happened. First, the radiometric date was challenged. In 2011, scientists reasoned that groundwater weathering had leached out some of the zircon crystals, which would make the rock look artificially younger than it really was. Second, the date of the extinction itself was moved. In 2012, the Triassic extinction was pushed back to line up better with fossils like this one. Now think about what that means. The rock was being accused of being contaminated to protect the old boundary. Then the old boundary moved anything. The one thing never allowed to be wrong was the assumption that index fossils had to fit the sequence in the first place. Set the index fossils aside and rely on radiometric dating alone, margin of error and all, and the sharp line between Triassic and Jurassic simply isn't there. It was never measured, it was assumed and then defended. The metaposaur didn't need to survive an extinction because there's no physical boundary marking that extinction in the rock itself. It exists only on paper in a sequence of index fossils scientists had arranged. That fits a very different picture of Earth's history. Not one long, unbroken evolutionary story, but a planet ruined and later restored. These tidy extinction lines are an illusion created by the ordering of the fossils, not ages actually written in stone.